point. One morning, R.C. Chapman, who was a devout Christian, was asked how he was feeling, and he responded, "I'm burdened this morning." But his happy countenance contradicted his words, and so the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." Friends, this should be our same attitude or demeanor. We should truly be burdened with the many blessings the Lord has lavished upon all of us. Our text this morning for this morning's message is found in the fourth chapter of Jeremiah. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. But it's important that we understand and we acknowledge that Jeremiah was a prophet who sought to bring the Israelites back into a right relationship with God. For the Israelites had gone wayward, they had backslidden, and they had exchanged worshiping the true God for worshiping false gods. And God's message to Israel through Jeremiah was this: "Through you I will bless the nations." As I mentioned, Israel had gone its own way. They had not given any concern to the other nations, which the Lord wanted to reach through them. And so the Lord sends Jeremiah to speak to them with his message, the message that says this: "Through you, I will bless the nations." Listen to Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "If you return, O Israel, says the Lord, to me you should return. If you remove your abominations from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in uprightness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." The "in him" in that last half of verse 2 is referencing to God. In God they will receive a blessing. In God they will glory. I wonder if we caught that. God wanted to bless the surrounding nations through the Israelites. And ultimately, God did bless the nations through Israel when he gave Jesus, his only son. Listen to a few of the blessings that Jesus brought about for those of us who receive him and have received him as their Lord and Savior. The blessing of an acceptance that can never be questioned, an acceptance with God, the blessings of an inheritance that can never be lost, an eternal inheritance, a blessing of a deliverance that can never be excelled, a deliverance from evil, a deliverance from darkness, a blessing of a grace that can never be limited, for the grace that covers the unmerited favor, a blessing of a hope that can never be disappointed, for the hope, it rests and exists in the eternal God. A blessing of a bounty that can never be withdrawn, for God will never take it back. He will never remove it, for in Christ we do have a bounty. A blessing of a joy that need never to be diminished. A joy that wells up deep within our heart and soul in and through Christ our Lord. A blessing of a nearness to God that can never be reversed. A blessing that God will never leave us nor forsake us. A blessing of a peace that can never be disturbed. The peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that knows not this world, but the peace that comes from heaven. A blessing of a righteousness that can never be tarnished. The blessing that Jesus took our sinful nature and gave us his righteousness. A blessing of a salvation that can never be canceled. Did you hear all those? Did you hear the blessings which speak of a joy that never needs to be diminished, a nearness to God that can never be reversed, a salvation that can never be canceled, a grace that can never be limited? Those, my friends, are true blessings for you and for me. They allow us all to live at peace in our soul. They allow you and me to have a solid foundation which we live with and out of. What a difference to have peace in our soul. What a difference to have joy and have hope and to have love. Friends, the rest of the world who are outside of a relationship with Christ, they know not of any of these blessings. I want you to hear that. Hear that. The rest of the world, those who do not have a relationship with Christ Jesus, do not know any of these blessings. And this is the message of Jeremiah from the Lord. This is the message of Jeremiah. He was exhorting the Israelites to get it right so the nations would be blessed. And friends, the message for you and for me today and for our lives is this: when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. Listen to the words of Peter. This is found in the third chapter of Acts, verse 26. And if you remember with me, in Acts 2, Pentecost happened, and that was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And all the followers of Christ were huddled together in an upper room. They were gathered together. They were huddled once with another. And then the Spirit of God was poured out, and they went forth. And then they began to speak in everyone's own language. And then later on, Peter, he began to speak in Solomon's portico. And he says this in the 26th verse of the third chapter: "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus and sent him to bless you." Listen to that. God sent Jesus to bless you. He sent Jesus to bless me. He sent Jesus to bless the world. He sent Christ our Lord, Christ our Savior, to bless people. And then it continues, "in turning away every one of you from your sins." Friends, this was and is the reason that God sent Jesus: to bless you, to bless me, and to bless the nations. And so I say it again, when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. Friends, this is the heart of God: to bless the nations. God wants to bless all nations, and he has given the task to the church. And we all must remember that when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. The nations are blessed as the gospel of Christ is shared, as the truth of Christ is proclaimed. The nations are blessed as we provide aid to those in need. The nations are blessed as we go. The blessing of God is not a stagnant thing. It requires movement. Remember with me in the book of Acts when Jesus, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, met the disciples in the upper room. They were stagnant. The Holy Spirit's poured out and it was given to them. And then the locale, it was a central room. And then they moved outward and began to speak. We have movement. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, they dropped their nets and followed. It's movement, friends. Jesus' great commission begins with the word "go." And again, we have movement. This is why we go. This is why we serve. This is why we are working to put in place discipleship processes here at Trinity. It's movement. Movement of the blessing of God to be poured out upon all the nations. What's at stake? I'm here to tell you what's at stake is the blessing of other people. Because, friends, the blessing of the nations is truly at stake. And when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. And friends, this is why, as long as I'm here at Trinity, we will seek to get it right. We will seek to be about missions, and we will seek to make disciples who can make other disciples. We will seek to move others to receive the blessing that God has for them. We will be about the heart of God. We will remember that when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. This is what you are a part of here, Trinity. Trinity United Methodist Church, this is what you all are a part of: blessing the nations, being the conduit through which God is pouring out his blessing upon the nations. For you and me, we have the truth. We have the reason why we are being blessed, and it's in Christ Jesus. And it's a sad, crying shame when we keep that to ourselves and we don't go. This is what we are a part of, Trinity. You are a part of the blessing of the nations. You are a part of making disciples, and you are a part of moving people to a place where they will be able to receive God's blessing for them. You and I, we are a part of getting it right. Tomorrow morning, there are 12 of us from Trinity here. We will meet here at 4 a.m. to travel to Mexico, and we will be involved with many different projects. We will be working with children who are living in an orphanage, and we'll be working with senior citizens who are homebound. We'll be working with those in need, serving them in a variety of ways, many ways we probably don't even understand what we're going to be doing for the 8 days, 9 days that we're there. We'll be working to serve them. There's much that we do not know, but I believe I can speak for the entire team that our hope is to be the channel through which God blesses the people of Mexico. Because, friends, we know when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. If the mission team would come forward and stand up here with me. I want to challenge everyone here this morning to remember that there are 12 that are actually traveling to Mexico, but all of you are all going with us. I want you to hear that last part. You all are traveling with us. There have been many from our congregation that have given, that have prayed, that have helped, and throughout the entire past year supported us in our journey. And please know this, it is not about the 12 going. It's about all of us. It's about our congregation. It's about us being the church. For you and I, we are all the church. The church, friends, is not a building, but the church is the people. And we, all of us, make up the church. Every one of us. It takes all of us to make the church. And friends, when the church gets it right, the nations are blessed. I want to challenge everyone here this morning to accept the call, both the mission team and you in the congregation. The call to stand with one another. And I challenge all of us to take upon ourselves the name of Christ. Each one of you all are called into ministries of love and service by the example of Christ. As these members of our community begin their work among the people of Mexico, we all pray that the blessings of God and this community upon their endeavors. And to the congregation, do you recognize this team to be ambassadors of this congregation in ministry with the people of Mexico, and do you dedicate them to service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do, please respond by saying, "We do." And do you, as their sending congregation, choose to unite with them in their work through your prayers so that God may richly bless their labors? And if you do, please respond by saying, "We do." And to the mission team, do you accept the call to be ambassadors of Christ Jesus in the country of Mexico and to be ambassadors and representatives of this congregation in all that you say and all that you do and everything that God places before you in your time in Mexico? If you do, please say, "We do." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, merciful Father. We thank you for being the conduit that you want to use to be the channel through which you want to bless the nations. What an awesome opportunity. What an awesome privilege. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity that these 12 have as we will travel to Mexico to serve your people. We pray for your sovereign protection to fall fresh upon this team, to fall fresh upon everyone involved. We pray, O Christ, that you would lead, you would guide, that you would find us faithfully obedient, that you would just seek us out, and that, Lord, we would truly be your love embodied to those people that we go and serve. So, Father, we pray that you would go before us, that you would grant us favor in our travels, you would grant us favor in the ministries, and prepare those hearts of the people that we will serve. And, Jesus, may you mold our hearts. May you shape us and form us in this mission with you, that truly you will be able to bless the people of Mexico. And Father, I pray right now for the congregation of those people who will not be traveling, but they will be traveling with us in spirit. And I pray that you would just challenge all of us to raise up and to step up, to rise to the call of the upward prize in Christ Jesus, to pray, to surround others, to stand and be united with one another. And so truly, this church, Trinity United Methodist Church, would be a conduit, would be a channel through which you can and yearn and want to bless the nations that you love so deeply. We thank you, O Christ our Lord, and we bless you and thank you and praise you, for it is in the wonderful, gracious name of Christ our King we pray. Amen. As we close this time of worship here this morning, may the God who yearns to use all of us to bless the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, may his love saturate your very being. May his peace fill your soul. And may his mind be your mind. And truly, may he find us obediently and faithfully following him. And may we receive the true blessings that only God can give through Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart and be a blessing to the nations. Amen.